Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. There are some things in life we know we should deal with, and somehow we don't. Not because we don't care, not because we're irresponsible, but because they sit in that uncomfortable space of, I'll get to it later. And when it comes to money, especially retirement and estate planning, that later can stretch a lot longer than we expect. This episode is a little different. You'll hear more stories than usual, real situations, real consequences. And while I might normally keep things a bit tighter, I chose to let those stories breathe. Because sometimes it's not the advice that stays with us, it's the example. Listen now to my conversation with Mark Kohler. Most of us were taught to do the right things with money. Save consistently, don't take big risks, trust that if we follow the rules, things will work out. And for many women listening, you've done that. But somewhere along the way, often closer to retirement than we expected, a quieter question starts to creep in. Yes, but will it actually be enough? And will it last? Not because you've been careless, but because no one really explained what happens when the paycheck stops and your savings have to start working for you. My guest today has spent decades working with people in exactly that space, not just building wealth, but figuring out how to turn it into something dependable, something that supports your life, and not just sits on a statement. We're going to discuss some of the risks people don't see coming, especially around estate planning, and what it really means to feel financially secure in this next chapter. And just a quick note before we start, Mark's work is based in the US, so some details may not apply everywhere. But the ideas and the questions behind them, those absolutely do. Mark Kohler, welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
It's going to be an interesting conversation because this whole financial thing, it just I always have that thought of like, oh, who else can I get in to discuss it? Because yeah, it's so important. Now, you said something that really stands out, that most people you work with did everything right and still feel uncertain. What's going on there?
Okay, that's a really good question. Okay. It's not that they're not trying, right? Everybody's trying, but the problem is they're so busy. People are busier now than ever. I mean, I've been doing this for 35 years, managing money and estates and things like that. So there are a couple things, if I could just back up for a moment and talk about the biggest obstacles. So there are actually seven personal hurdles you're going to have to get over. There's no way around it. There are things that I have seen personally, right? There are 13 benefits to an estate plan. There are actually 13, and there are 10 financial hurdles. So they're all kind of, but dominoes, I said before, dominoes, right? The problem is, I'd like to share a couple, if I would, the first
Yeah,
hurdle.
absolutely.
I could. Okay. So the number one issue I see is procrastination. The number one issue. Now, why? We're busy, busy, busy. The ladies on this call right now, they're either caregivers, they got a business, they got they're multiple, it's like you're juggling chainsaws, but you got to take care of yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, and I liken this to an analogy here, if you could think about Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving in the US. So there's 12 people seated there, right? And there's mashed potatoes and turkey and stuffing and all these wonderful things, right? But everyone's being fed. You're feeding them. Who's feeding you? Who's feeding you? Because no one's at that table feeding you. You're feeding everyone else. And unfortunately, most people are self-centered. Today's call is about you taking action, okay? Being aware of what you kind of need to do. So we're going to have actionable things today. We're going to have to share some lists. And I know nobody wants any more lists, but you need to be aware of these things. And that number one issue, number one hurdle out of seven is procrastination. So if you don't feed yourself and then start feeding the people, guess what? Just like in an airplane, put the oxygen on you first, then the baby. or whoever tuned in. Now, you got to take care of yourselves, okay? My wife is the most incredible human being on planet Earth. Sometimes she just gives too much to everybody else. So I'm with her on the journey, right? But procrastination is something that creeps up with on you, especially here we are in a boomer, right? We're talking about boomers. I'm a boomer, I'm 62. Things creep up on you and you go, oh my gosh. So today's going to be very, very helpful for all your listeners. So number one, procrastination. Number two, it's so easy to spend in this country. And God bless America. I love this country. Okay. The problem is it is commercial driven. It is a commercial, believe it or not. I mean, when you're on looking on Facebook or wherever it is, there's sell, sell, sell. They're trying to sell you, sell you, sell you. And then you just hit a button and it, or you go on Amazon and it shows up on your doorstep. You say, wow, isn't that amazing? But how about earning and conserving and protecting what you have? That's a different story. There are a lot of unscrupulous people out there that want to take stuff from you, which is unfortunate, but it's so easy to spend. So easy to spend. Number three, it won't happen to me. It won't happen to me. Okay. I see this all the time. And I'll tell you some stories later on that will absolutely blow your mind. But people that never thought of losing what they've got. They never thought their daughter would betray them, or their son, or their grandchild, or their advisor, or the market, or whatever. So that's number three. Number four is ego. I can't tell you now, believe it or not, it's mostly the men's side of this, okay? But I see families coming in and they think they got it made, they got it figured out. I'm going to share some stories with you of people that thought exactly that, that lost almost everything they've got because of that. Next one is five is black swan events. Well, what the heck is that? Like 9/11. I bet you know exactly where you were on 9/11. I can show you the exact spot I was standing when I saw the first building get hit. The whole entire world changed, unfortunately. Who saw it coming? The people on the airplane, apparently. But I didn't know. I mean, this is crazy. That's a black swan event. We'll chat about those too. Things that you never would ever think they happen. And boom, they happen anyway. They're out of your control. Next is fear. I can't tell you how many people of all my clients, I've got them in 14 states. Okay. Even my clients, like, oh boy, you know, and you hear these stories. Well, I don't know if I want to look at my statement. And all the clients are happy. But they'll get nervous anyway. It's like being on an airplane. They just can't look out the window. Oh my gosh, I don't want to look out the window. Well, look at the beautiful clouds, you know? But fear is this thing that just, it's like a cancer. Just like, oh, I don't know if I make the wrong decision. Then 5 years passes. Oh, but I can't find the right attorney. Oh, another 5 years passes. Oh, I don't know if I should rebalance my account. Oh, another 5 year. Then you go, whoa, 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 I'm 58. 65, so hold on a second. And there's no do-overs with a lot of these things, right? The last is cognitive impairment. We're going to chat about that. This is a big, 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 big gorilla in the room. And nobody, I haven't seen one client go, oh, here's the day I lose my marbles, or there's an accident, or you're in a coma. Or just something, a little bit is a little bit off, and you start making a cascading wrong decisions. Here's the problem. Your bad decision, whether it's intent, you know, you intend that bad decision or not, I know listeners I don't think would ever do that. The problem is you make that decision and it impacts generations. It's not just you. Okay. So those are the first hurdles. Now here's let's back up for a second. We talked about seven of them, right? Only two of them are from outside. Five of them are you. Five of them are the listener themselves. Procrastination, it won't happen to me. Ego, fear, cognitive impairment, right? Maybe you didn't eat right, drank too much, or you know, whatever. You're kind of in control of those. The black swan events, right? And so easy to spend. We're part of that because we just do the spending. But the environment around us is always taking, taking, taking. Today's about you blessing yourself because a really healthy, financially put together you is going to bless generations. It's not just the mom and dad you're taking care of. And I know you're doing that, ladies. I'm talking to you because you have big hearts and you care, and I get it. Okay. But it's the management of you, because a healthy you can bring health and abundance and light and joy to those around you. So you got to take the mask on yourself first, the oxygen mask on the plane, right? Before you taking care of, it's not being selfish. Please stop for a second, okay? It's not about being selfish. This is about being prudent and responsible, okay? So are we good so far?
We're good so far. And it's interesting how, you and I are discussing the financial realm, but that exact message of put the mask on your own face first, that take care of yourself, it applies to our roles as caregivers. It applies to our mental health, our physical health, as well as our financial health. So,
Exactly. That
yeah.
little baby dies. If mommy doesn't take care of herself, that baby infant on the plane, that's not going to make it. Because you have seconds. You have seconds to get it on you and get it on that child. If you black out, what's the child going to do without a mother? Sorry. And it's not being greedy. Okay. It's not. Okay. So let's talk about estate planning. Okay. Estate
Okay.
planning. I'm going to tell you a story. Actually, let's have a list. Actually, your listeners, this would probably be very, very helpful for all of you. And I'm sorry for giving you a list. And I know you guys are driving and you're doing your stuff. You're all over the world. You're doing your thing. But this is important. This is part of what Agnes is trying to do, is give you actionable items. So this is an overview. We can't go into everything, right? And first of all, I'm not an attorney and I can't give you advice, because I don't know you, just like Agnes doesn't know all our listeners. I don't know. We have to actually, every human being is different, but let's be aware of the big picture. So that's what today's about. Okay. So number one is a good estate plan will make sure your wishes come true, and not the government, not a judge, not a lawyer, not the unscrupulous neighbor of yours, or a bad child or grandchild or something like that. It's about making sure your wishes come true. And estate planning seems kind of creepy, okay? You just talked about, actually, we're talking about an estate being an executor, what a thankless job it is, but it's precious and important. Whoever made you an executor really trusts you, okay? That's the highest form of trust. And I know it's a pain. I've been through it. If you haven't been through it, it's going to happen eventually. But number one, I'm going to read through them first and then we'll dive in a little bit. Number one are wishes. Make sure your wishes come true. Number two is unnecessary taxes. You don't want to pay unnecessary taxes. Do a proper estate plan. That's going to help. It doesn't make them all go away, but it helps. Number three is probate. Probate actually means prove the will. That's what it means. Okay. Number four is family disputes. You write your stuff down. You write it down. That's it. It's signed, witnessed. Got a notary saying, these are my wishes. The hurricane of disputes won't happen, because it is what it is. There's no way around it. Number five, the care of minor children. Mommy dies. You got a 12-year-old, 8-year-old, 7-year-old. Mom's out there running around. Husband passed away, or who knows what's going on, and you're the caregiver and you pass away. You've got stuff. Who's going to manage your stuff for the benefit of those little kids? They've not only lost you, the most important human being on the earth, but they've lost the financial stability. And I will tell you, it reverberates through generations. Next, number six is preserve wealth. It'll preserve it. There are ways to do that, okay? So instead of unscrupulous people, the judge, and neighbors and other crazy people showing up, and that's important, right? Here we go to number seven, incapacity. And this is the biggest gorilla in the room. This is what I've seen over the last 7 to 8 years, right? All clients are getting older. It doesn't matter who, we are the baby boomers, right? The biggest wave of human beings that have impacted the whole earth. We're part of that. But incapacity is the thing that nobody puts in their date book. I'll talk about that when we come back. Number eight, coordinate beneficiary designations. That's what it does. And I can't tell you how many people I've seen, they go, oh, I got my prior husband on as beneficiary of my 401k. Oh yeah, I see it. It actually happens because you forget you're busy, right? You're juggling chainsaws. Number nine is protect the surviving spouse. Now, let's say there's a second marriage. The kids want to come in and take everything away. They're going to be fighting like two. I mean, I've seen this happen too. You have a surviving spouse that you love. You've been married for 7, 10, 12 years. The kids are older. If you don't put stuff in writing, you're talking contestability. We're talking about a nightmare on your hands, okay? Or on their hands. Okay, so number 10 is special needs children. Special needs. So there are government parts to that. There are all sorts of things that can touch that. But if you don't put stuff in writing, that can damage their support in the future because there are government programs, right? If you don't have special clauses drafted, what can happen? The estate is completely depleted that was there for their benefit, okay? So number 11, privacy. There are ways for your estate to be blocked from the public eye. Do you want your neighbor knowing what's going on? Because I got news for you. Their neighbors want to know everything about you, right? Next is charitable causes. You've got kids, they want to do X, Y, Z, and you're like, you know what? I'm giving 10% to the church. Here's what it's going to do. You know, this pastor gets this, this congregation gets that, or whatever it is. You better put it in writing. I will tell you, when it comes to money, the best of best people that you've seen, and I'm going to tell you some stories, okay? The people you think are the golden children would never do what they've done. And unfortunately, you know, they can say, oh, no, we're not going to give that money to charity or whatever. You got to have it in writing. It's got to be notarized. It's got to be, you know, witnessed the right way. Okay. And then reduce taxes. That's the last one. Reducing taxes. Can you do that? Yes. There's a way to do that, not make them go away. I'm not saying they're going to go away. I'm saying there's a way to do that. Okay, so let's go back. I want to tell you a story.
Can I interject for a
Yeah.
second? As you were going through that list, I'm going, oh yeah, that was so and so, and oh yeah, I heard about that about this other person, and I think just about everything is at this age, it's like you've seen all of this, just maybe haven't internalized it and processed it in terms of your own life.
Exactly the problem. We're too busy and it won't happen to me. So we need a round to it. I used to do a lot of these seminars and I would hand out this little, it says round to it because people like estate planning, they don't want to talk about it. They want to know about it, but not do anything about it. And I would hand these little wooden coins out and say round to it out to everybody, you know, because now it's a now thing because you don't want to, I know you don't want to deal with it. But it's something that reverberates through generations. It's your responsibility. It's just sloppy. You don't want people to be in chaos and anger and lose money and lose principal and all that other stuff. You work too hard for what you've got, whatever it is. I don't care what the amount is.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the kind of thing that it's like making that phone call that you don't want to make is you go do it and suddenly it's like, oh, the weight's off your shoulders, it's done, it's over and finished with. And the same, and I'm not saying you don't revisit this sort of stuff as life goes on, but at least if it's there and done once, it's easier to, I'm sure, to update or change things a little bit than to redo
Yeah.
the whole, like to have to do the whole thing from scratch.
Who wants to go to
So
the dentist? Anybody raise your hand.
I love my dentist.
Nah, I love my dentist. And I love the hygienist the most. She's the sweetest thing on the planet. But if I don't, you can actually have a heart attack from not taking care of that. I mean, think about it. And you don't think about it, but if you don't take care of that tooth, and it becomes who knows what can happen to it that gets in your blood and boom, you can have. So now, remember we talked about in cognitive impairment. We'll touch on that. We're gonna go back to that in a minute.
That's my
But
whole background. Yep.
so wishes. What are your wishes? This is for all your listeners. You got to write them down. You know who it, it's just start with that. The easiest thing for you to do is, and you can take a sheet of paper, circles, family, health, you know, where do you want to be buried? What do you want, you know, it's chaos if you don't write it down. That's the first thing. What are your wishes? Who do you want to get your stuff and when? You're going to love these stories I'm going to tell you of people that didn't do it correctly and those who did do it correctly. So just write them down. Unnecessary taxes. There's a way for you to have a step up in basis. We don't have enough time to talk in detail about all this stuff today, unfortunately. But be aware of it. And you can look it up. You can look it up. A really good attorney can draft, you know, documents for you to maintain or have a step, what's called a step up in basis. That's regarding capital gains. Okay. So just be aware of it. Number three is probate. As I said, probate means prove the will. What happens in probate? Listen carefully. Probate is public, okay? Because it's public, your entire estate is contestable. You can have a neighbor show up and say, "She promised me the car." There have been nurses, I got stories of nurses, unfortunately, we're, you know, we love our nurses, but there are unscrupulous doctors, attorneys, government employee, you know, it doesn't matter. They're all around you. When your estate is public, anybody can come in and contest your estate. There was a nurse, the latest story I've got is a nurse who spoke, I can't tell you what the language was, but the person in the hospital bed was Russian. This nurse did not speak Russian. The probate estate was opened, probate case, right? And the family's there because this nurse is contesting the estate and said, "This man promised me the house." It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't even speak Russian. Okay. The problem is there, you know, this nurse has been doing this all the time. And prior acts are not admissible in probate court. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Everybody knew what was going on. And unfortunately, someone says, "Hi, they promised me the house." They have to open the probate case. They have to. That's the way the law is. So they ended up settling for $76,000 that this person didn't need, didn't, you know, what it wasn't, we know it wasn't, you know, bestowed upon or talked about in any legal document. There's no way a Russian spoke to someone in another language and said, "Hi, I'm going to give you my house." That never happened. One of the daughters had a stroke just because of the pressure of this whole thing. I mean, that's just sounds crazy. So probate is public. The assets are frozen. They had to go through probate because the assets frozen until probate closes. Isn't that a shame? They just wanted it to get over with. Wow. And it's expensive. There are attorneys, court costs, right? Transaction fees and all this other crazy stuff. Probate can take years. Most are 9 months to a year. AARP estimates that $2 billion is lost every year to probate. Hello, needlessly lost through probate. Okay. So family disputes. You write down what you want, and I'm telling you, it's going to take all the fire out of the room. Peace is what you're looking for, right? So you write this stuff down, you write it down, whatever it is. I'd rather you have a will on a napkin than none at all, because the state here in Illinois, where I am, the state has every state has a will for you. If you don't draft one, the state has one for you. Sorry, I'm just telling you how it works. If you're married, your spouse is only going to get half. You don't have an estate. The estate says 50% is you, 50% to the heirs. Or to the kids. Okay. So, or it can trickle all the way down to grandkids. If one of your kids passed away, you may not even like these kids. Guess what? They're getting the money anyway, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. Are you okay with that? I'm not okay with that. Right. So, all right. So minor children, you got to have a guardian set up. You have a guardianship. See, a guardian can be very different than a trustee or an executor. A guardian is a fighter that comes into court and says, I'm here a defender of these children. That is a powerful document to have. You should have it for your kids. Okay. They're with you, the judge is with you. Okay. But very often when estates are set up, you have the trustee, let's say a revocable living trust, right? You want that guardian separate from the trustee. You want powers separated, right? So they're fighting for the benefit of the child and the management of the estate. You want that, right? Necessarily, sometimes we see the same people, but I'm going to tell you when I get to these stories, you don't want to trust everybody when it comes to money. They do crazy things, okay? Preserving wealth. So, with a trust, a properly drafted revocable living trust, we call them AB trust, above ground, below ground. Sounds crazy. I was trained by Henry W. Abs III, who wrote the book, The Living Trust. So, as a registered investment advisor, we manage assets, right? Well, part of that, the problem is that we see bad estate planning coming in the door. This is back in the 90s. So Henry W. Abs III wrote that book to wake everybody up and say there's an easy way to handle and put everything basically in a nice, neat box with a bow on it to make things simple and the management of the estate simple. So anyway, preserving wealth, an AB trust, what does it do? It retains two exemptions from state estate tax. So there was a recent law changed. But the point is, depending on when you're where your state is, where you live, some of them have estate tax. The exemptions from estate tax vary. Right now, federally, it's a huge amount of money, so don't worry about that right now. But the history of federal estate tax is gone like this, and it depends who's in the office. Doesn't matter. It's still your asset. It's still your estate, right? That's legislated. So we don't know what the future is going to be. You get a properly drafted revocable living trust, it'll retain two exemptions from estate tax. So if they change the rules, good. Now you're retaining two exemptions, right? So incapacity. This is a big one. Big deal. And I'm going to give you a statistic, ladies. This is important for all of you. You have a 37% chance that you will get dementia. Think about that. You want to write that down. When is the onset for dementia? In ladies, it's 83. If you get dementia, and I'm going to read these stories to you, okay? So we're going to plant the seeds. We're going to plant them with these stories, okay? Men have a 24% chance of getting dementia. Why is it less? Because they die earlier. They die 4 years earlier. They die at 79 statistically, okay? Two out of three Americans will experience cognitive impairment, not dementia. Two out of three. Hello. Hi. Two out of three will get cognitive impairment. You should probably write that down, right? So anyway, when you have the proper people involved and you set it up the right way, it's in titanium and concrete. These people are going to do your wishes. They're going to be your advocate, and the courts back these people up. Isn't that beautiful? If you just get it, for whatever reason you're procrastinating, I'm telling you've got a 37% shot that you're going to get cognitive impairment. Hello. I mean, this is,
And
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and once again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know I'm in British Columbia, and once you have a diagnosis, your signature on any of those documents is not valid because you are without your mental capacity. So,
Wow.
yeah. So,
Wow.
I've seen people come in and go like, well, let's get this signed because mom's in dementia. She's got dementia, whatever. If we tell her the right story, she'll act normal in front of the lawyer. And
I've
yeah. And
seen that. I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
So I know we're touching on a lot of, it's we don't want to talk about this stuff, but this opportunity today, and you have your list, you wrote it down, right? You can easily handle all of this. Easily handle all of this. Now, in the States, you can set up a revocable living trust, and it comes with a bunch of different documents. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But that's what we provide for most of our clients. Most of them, that's what they have because it's easy, simple, and the people they love and trust. That's why they call them trustees. And we, I just want to share this now. I don't want to forget about it. We actually put three trustees on level one, not one, two, and three, because each person, that first person has all the power, then the second power, third has power, right? We put them all on level one. That way they're watching each other. Okay, they're legally responsible for what's happening. They can go to jail if they don't do what they're supposed to do. But anyway, incapacity, your trust would be managed by a team. Think of a corporation. Think of a corporation, right? Managing your stuff. They can buy and sell, liquidate, transfer. They can pay the bills. They can manage, fire doctors with all the other documents that come in. They can move you to another extended care facility. And you can also pay them a little bit too to incentivize them. Most people don't because they're usually kids. Sometimes there are no kids. And you got to make sure they get something because they don't want to burn their time. But a properly drafted revocable living trust can be settled in about 2 weeks instead of 9 months, 2 years, or whatever it is. These other documents. So let's go back to our list. Coordinate beneficiary designations. It's when you have a trust, your trust owns everything you have or is the beneficiary of everything you have. That's it. That's as simple as this gets. The trust owns everything you have or is the beneficiary, like life insurance, right? Simple. You've got the team. You get in a coma, the team is there to help on whatever has to happen. The trust is already what's called funded, right? You have to have someone fund that for you. And now it's seamless. So, protecting the surviving spouse, that's obviously in the document. It's right there. Not only is it in the document, but the spouse is a creator beneficiary, right? A creator of the document. And a beneficiary of the document, their name is already titled with the name of the trust on all your documents. So there's no crazy things going on and no delays. Special needs, what better way to manage the stuff that you pass away, husband passes away. Let's say you have now $1 million in life insurance, you have a home, you have a couple other things. I know you don't feel like you're wealthy, but one of your kids falls and breaks his neck and now he's in a wheelchair. You pass away. You have a team of people managing that estate. A team, a legal team, highest form of fiduciary responsibility in the United States, right? Being a trustee. Trustee. They're held under a certain standard, right? This isn't just your neighbor's brother's friend's garbage man's son. This is people that you love and trust. So they can also have, we talked about reducing taxes. It's private. A revocable living trust is private. It's private. Okay. The world doesn't even know you've got it. The government, the courts don't know they have it. Okay. It bypasses probate.
Do you have, okay, thank you. That's just what I was going to ask you.
Totally bypasses the crazy stuff. Wait till you hear these stories. I'm gonna have to tell you the stories kind of in succession, but you'll get it. You'll get it when you hear the stories, and then charitable causes. Okay, so let me read you some stories. We'll get into financial things here in just a minute, but let's hammer out the estate planning. Okay, there was a lady in 1976 bought her home. Okay, on the north side of Chicago, she lived there for 40 years. Okay, she had four kids. And the youngest child, the golden child, right? I'm going to give her a wedding gift. I'm going to give her the house. I'm going to sell her the house at a discounted value. And I'm going to live there forever. And I said, don't do it. The other three kids said, don't do it. All her friends said, don't do it. I have statistics to prove she shouldn't have done it, but anyway, she was bullheaded. She ran, I can't tell you what job she had, but she was a well-known lady, okay? So what ended up happening is she sold the house for $420,000 to her daughter, and it was worth about 600,000. Okay? So there's a little discount there. She sold the house for 420,000 after she put a $220,000 second story on it. Okay? So she's going to live in the second story. Get it? Sounds perfect, right? I told her she needs to get a life estate document signed, which means she has a right to stay there for life, and then everything transfers, you know, right? Sold the house for 420. It was worth 640 at the time. Now it's worth about a million. She's in my office. I said, "Don't do it." She goes, "I'm going to do it." When? Tomorrow, she says. This is Friday. So I gave her a sample life estate document. I said, "Go get this thing, get it signed and notarized." Okay. She says, "Yeah, sure, whatever." She gets her own attorney, not the attorneys we recommended for her. She gets her own attorney. Okay. This is a friend. Okay. Listen to this. So anyway, she gets the document. She gives it to me. I put it in the file and we forget about it. 6 months later, the son-in-law locks her out of the garage. Now, this is her house. She lived in for 40 years, sold it for 420, right? And the garage, she's got this big car that she would drive and pick people up and drive them around like a taxi, like an Uber kind of thing, right? That's how she got some little extra money. And that she's changed the code on the garage. It's like, well, I mean, what? I get a phone call from one of the sons going, "This is crazy. What?" Because nobody liked this guy that the youngest daughter married, right? Anyway, a couple months later, actually a couple weeks later, they lock her, they change all the locks in the house. Now, this is a lady living upstairs, spent 220, gave them this house. They already have 200 grand in their pocket, 240 grand, right? Because of the house value. So next, they locked her in her bedroom. Now, this can't possibly happen because this is the golden child. The golden child who they gave us a boat to and all this other stuff and sold it. Okay. You don't think of this stuff happening, right? Then this guy was just big. Okay. He was in the legal arena. I'm not going to tell you who this guy was or who he is, but he threatened to push her down the stairs. Now, this is ladies now almost 80, right? So she, okay, locking her in a room, chatting. Think about this, folks. This is what the woman thought she got everything figured out. She's got the ego thing I told you about earlier, right? I know what I'm doing. So she goes outside one night. She has a little adult beverage, sits outside. She has a heart attack. Well, why wouldn't you? Sure, I mean, this is Crazyville,
For
right?
sure, yeah.
So here's what we found out. I called Adult Protective Services. We got the police over there. We got all her stuff out of that house. We got her a rental place down the hall, down the street. Here's what we found out. And th this the new husband of the daughter, right? He knew this. The attorney she had go and sign and everything, he never filed the document with the state or the county. Which means it's irrelevant. It's as if it never existed. And this guy knew that. So he said, if I could just kick her out of the house, get her to leave, I've got it made. She's gone. And that's it. We ended up having to f hire a bunch of attorneys. She spent $100,000 to get her $220,000 back. Okay. So take 220. Minus 100,000, she got a net of 120,000 back, and the home today net gain for that for those kids is about 550 grand is what they made minus their legal fees. But it doesn't happen to you, it won't happen to you, right?
And I'm sure it doesn't help when I tell my kids, you behave or I'll come back and haunt you. Because.
Okay, if you could make that happen, I'd give you a big hug if you could make that happen, because that would alleviate all a lot of these problems. Let me talk to you about another story, if I may. Is that okay?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. So let's go on to number two. This lady was a little fireball. I mean, she was a bagger at a grocery store. Okay. She went to a seminar. She came in, sweetheart, tough as nails. She became a cashier at one of the big chain grocery stores in the city of Chicago. Okay. She's a client for 17 years. Back in 08, that's when I met her. Her husband passed away 2 years earlier. She amassed, now this is a bagger, a cashier amassed $440,000. She saved, 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 right? And she owned her condo outright, which was about $200,000. She doesn't, she lives modestly. She had her Social Security. She was doing great. Okay. Gave us her money to manage, and that's fine. She had three daughters. One was good, one was bad, and one died, unfortunately. Okay. Kept asking her to get her estate plan in order. She goes, "No, my husband made a will. I've got a will." Now, this is from the 70s. "Oh, I got a will. I got a will." Well, she doesn't, she's a tightwad, doesn't want to spend any money, right? Here's what happened. When, now, this is when, this is right before she passed away at age 84. I get a call from the good daughter who's a policeman. Okay. She goes, "You're not going to believe this, blah, blah, blah." She's going on and on and on. I go, "What are you talking about?" The good daughter, the bad daughter, the bad daughter's kids were living at my client's condo. Nobody, I didn't know this. Nobody, because I'm talking to her on the phone. You don't hear anybody in the background or whatever, right? The granddaughter brought the 84-year-old, I'm sorry, this is, she was 82 at the time, brought her to a Mercedes dealer and said, "Co-sign for this car for me. Co-sign for the," she got a Mercedes. This is a grandchild who doesn't have a job. Co-sign that. Now she's got cognitive impairment. She's starting to lose. She's a little slow. Remember I said cognitive impairment, right? 3.5. Oh, it was about, yeah, about 2 years earlier. She gets the Mercedes, doesn't make any payments. She leaves it on the side of the road on the expressway in Chicago. Guess who had to pay for the Mercedes? This
Her
is a
friend.
bagger, a grocery store clerk lady who saved all her life. And now she's paying for a car. Like, whoever thought that would happen? Because I love my grandkids. They would never hurt me. Here's the second thing we found out. The police, the good daughter calls me up. She goes, "Mark, you're not going to believe this. The grandson, we find out, is a drug addict, drug dealer, and embezzled. Forged her checks for $125,000. Okay, money's gone. Oh, but my kids won't do that, right? My kids are perfect, right? So am I getting to the point here? Now, the cognitive impairment, she was a little off. Oh, I love my grandkids. Who's the first lady? Oh, I love my golden child daughter. She'll never hurt me, right? So listen to this one. You're going to love this. Second marriage. This guy's living in Southern Illinois. He's got isolated guy. He's older. Okay. He's got pneumonia. This guy, they took away the communication for this guy. He could barely speak, barely move, right? Second marriage. They actually took the window casement out. This is January. Okay. In winter. Took the window, the whole window out. This guy can't move, can't speak. The kids are calling down, "Hey, how's dad doing?" There's two kids, son and daughter. "Oh, how's dad doing?" "Oh, he's fine. He's recouping. He's fine. Don't worry about it. He's fine." This guy had owned rice farms, hog farms, had oil wells, and hundreds of acres down in Southern Illinois. I'm not going to tell you who this guy is, okay? Today's value is about 30 million. The kids got less than 5%. Now, how did that happen? They forged a will. There's an attorney who had something on the second wife, had something on her. The judge was in on it. They forged a will. Okay? Oh, that can't happen. That doesn't happen nowadays. Remember the nurse I told you about earlier? Don't tell me this stuff doesn't happen. Okay? Had they set up a revocable living trust with multiple trustees and put the two kids, guess what? Dad can't move. Where's dad? He can't sign. Well, who's going to sign for him? You better have it. Oh, see, a bank won't let you do that. Where are the trustees? They need to sign these documents. Okay. Second wife, she could have been on there too. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, okay, to be prudent. All right. I'm going to tell you a, this is a great story. Are we doing okay on time?
Yeah, I am watching the clock, but keep
Okay.
one more story is good.
Okay, we'll do one. It's one more estate planning story. Okay, this is very, very important. We're talking about spendthrift clauses. You can add a spendthrift clause to a revocable living trust. Spendthrift clause. You know, one of the kids is a lunatic, right? You can give them money over time, or a percentage, right? Or if they do certain things, or a certain age, right? $3.6 million estate, two daughters. One of them makes $300,000 a year in sales, and they just put on a $600,000 addition. She got $1.8 million. The other daughter got $1.8 million. Okay. They have a house worth $2.2 million. They just sold it. They just moved to Florida. Working, 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 got 1.8. Now it's blossomed into a whole bunch of other stuff. The other daughter was on welfare, getting welfare checks, okay? Not working. The husband was on the graveyard shift of a forklift. He was moving a forklift on the graveyard shift. They were on welfare, okay? What's the first thing this daughter that didn't work and was on welfare, what is the first thing she did with $1.8 million? What do you think it is?
Bought lottery tickets. I don't know.
No, she bought her best friend $250,000, bought her a condo and gave her the keys. Like what she should have done is bought the condo herself, rented it for the friend for like $10 a month. Okay? That's what she should have done, right? Had there been a spendthrift clause in that trust that this man set up, because everybody knew this lady couldn't manage her own money. And look what happened. Not only that, we had the $1.8 million. We had it all set up for her. She went and got her best friend's brother, who was, I think, an insurance guy or something, and the money just went right out of the account. We have no idea where it is, what happened to her. Imagine someone who doesn't make a living, lives on the state, already the first transaction gives away 250 grand. Who the heck knows what she did? Maybe she go to Vegas or something and send it out. Not the last story on estate planning. Okay. I'm sorry about this, but this is important because it makes things relevant. Okay. Is that okay? I'm sorry for dragging this on, but
No. Somewhere along the way, what I would like you to do is explain the difference between revocable and
oh,
irrevocable.
great, great. We're going to do that. Okay.
Okay.
So, as far as asset protection goes, an irrevocable trust is like setting your whatever that asset is in titanium and concrete. Okay. The problem is the rules mean it can't, it's unchangeable. A revocable trust, which is what we're talking about here for estate planning, right? Then it comes with durable powers of attorney for health care, durable power of attorney for assets, pour over will, living will, conservator, all those nice documents come with a living trust. An irrevocable trust, there's a time delay of a couple years where it really won't work until it lasts beyond a certain amount of time. Okay, it's like 3 years. Okay. Once it's in there, you can take income, let's say, from it, but whatever the words are in that document, whatever it is, and it's backed by institutional trustees, nobody's getting to it except the IRS. You can get in the worst car accident on planet Earth, and nobody can get to those assets. Okay. So that's a tool for estate protection. A revocable trust is open. It's a pass-through for your I tax ID. That interesting? So this one over here has its own tax ID. A revocable trust has your or your husband's tax ID to it until the first one passes away. So this is pliable and changeable. This one is set titanium and concrete.
Thank you.
So how are we doing so far?
There we go. Okay, yeah. It's one of those things that when it comes up, I go like, okay, what was the difference again? So thank you.
Great question. Great question. So if you have an estate, great. If you don't manage the estate right, you're not going to have an estate to worry about. You're not, you, so if you don't manage your assets, there is nothing to protect, right? So I want to talk to you about a couple things, or mention to the, I'm sorry, we're going to go on another quick list, but this will be helpful. I know we're probably short
Yeah.
on time. I'm sorry I talk
There's
forever, but
a couple of things I want to apply or talk about, but that's okay. You keep going.
sure, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was looking for the actual words when life hits you upside the head. I can't remember what your term for it was. Because at our age, we've been through the early 80s. We've been through dot-com. We've been through 2006, 7, and right now things are looking a little unsettled, shall we say.
Right. Black swan events.
Thank you, Black Swan events. How does that affect, like, I'm 72. How long of a window, like in terms of affecting my savings, you know, when I go in there and I look at my investments and it's like, nye, 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 nye. And for the listener, I am just bouncing down a few stairs very slowly.
Okay, that's a very powerful question. Actually, let me see if I have this for you. Let me see. Okay. So financially, so a black swan event, my father was in second grade. This is a long, I can't even go there because a traumatic health event happened when I was in second grade. That's a health event. Then there's cognitive event. Then there's outside things that can happen. Those, they're all black swan events, but I'm going to talk about financial black swan events right now. Okay. Not about dive into health, not cognitive. We touched on that, but outside, that's kind of what you're talking about right now. So let's talk about that for a second. Okay. So I'm going to give you an example. The Great Depression, that impacted everybody. All over the world, right? If you had $100,000, okay, this is in 1928, you had $100,000. No fees, no taxes, you didn't touch it. How long did it take for that $100,000? If you're invested in the S&P 500, which is the largest, most dynamic market really on the planet. I mean, there's the NASDAQ, but the S&P is the bellwether, like rock. It's like the mountain, right? When someone says, oh, the market's up, they're talking about the S&P 500, which is the largest, most dynamic stocks we've got, okay? So 1928, you invested $100,000. How long did it take without touching it, without any taxes, without any fees or anything? How long did it take till you got your money back? What do you think?
I mean, after the crash? Oh, I'm sure it recuperated.
Well,
And
1928, right? You
okay,
put in 100,000 in the S&P, which are the best stocks we've got.
yeah.
How long did it take just to get your $100,000 back?
I have no idea. 10 years, I don't know.
24 years.
Okay.
Took 24 years to
Yeah.
the year. Okay. Now
Which is
that
why
sounds.
I wanted to look at this because even in 2007, I don't like, I mean, you're talking fear. I'd get the statements and I'd throw them in a drawer because I didn't want to know.
You're not, see, that's what I was talking
Yeah,
about.
exactly. Yeah.
Fear.
And I,
Yep.
yeah, owned up to it. My logic was I had an employer matched. So I just said, I'm just losing the employer's money, not mine. And if I didn't look, I didn't know for sure. So it was okay. But even in 2007, 2008, whatever that was, I had time. I had another maybe 20 years, 15 years, because I know the market comes back. Right now, at this age, I don't have 10, 20 years before I start claiming. So
Thank
that's
you.
what I want you to address. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I wish I could clone you, okay? Because that thought process, it's so important. Because I have to spend so much time trying to help people understand retirement is not assets, it's income. Retirement is not about its income. How do you get the most income out of what you have? So when you were working, work, 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 you got the match, thank God. What would, do you know what your match was? 2 or 4%? Do you know?
Oh no, it's 50%.
Okay, so you
Like
got a
whatever,
huge.
or I guess 100%. Whatever I put in, my employer matched.
Okay, that is the most
In
incredible,
terms of
beautiful thing.
my, yeah,
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
obviously it was a percentage of my income. It was a little tiny
Oh,
percentage. I can't
yeah, but
remember, maybe
still, that's
5%,
awesome.
but it was, yeah.
It's the best benefit for the employees. Now, I'm talking about in the States. The number one best thing you got going is the employer match. That is free money. That's a free gain. So what happened was you had dollar cost averaging. That was, long, that was years ago, 2008, right? But you were putting money in. The market was going like this, but you were actually buying low because they matched whatever you put in. So that was actually a good thing, called actually dollar cost averaging. When you retire, actually the first 5 years before you retire and the first 5 years after you retire are the most important times of your financial life. And if you make a mistake there, we got a problem. If a black swan event happens, right? Like the depression or something like that. So you can wait when you're 40 years old. When you're 72, you're actually living on it. So what are you going to wait for? You have to pull money out in a down market. We'll talk about that second. Okay. Let's go back to black swan events, financial black swan events that all of us lived through. If we're boomers, we lived through these two, actually three, I'm going to share with you. So in 1972, 1972 and a half, the oil crisis hit. I don't know if you're aware of that, but there were people in lines trying to wait for gas. That is a back in the 70s. We may not have noticed it. You may have, you may not, but it happened. I remember people waiting for, it was like a quarter mile just to get gas. So I'm not going to get into politics and how it evolved and what happened and who was involved, but if you had $100,000 in the S&P 500, which is the most best stuff we've got, if you have the $100,000, it would have taken 8 years to get your money back without touching it. Okay? We're going to dovetail this in a second. Third thing that happened, this is when I was on TV all the time on CNBC and all that. The Great Recession happened. Well, what's that? We had the dot-com bubble. The dot-com bubble happened, right? So people were buying, 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 buying. They were buying air, which is a lot of what's happening right now with AI, but we don't have time to talk about that. But if you invested in 1970, I'm sorry, in 1999, $100,000, it would have taken 14 years to get every dime back in the S&P 500 without touching it, without spending a dime. That's a black swan event. So two of them together. One of them is 9/11 happened. And you got the dot-com at the same time 9/11 happened, right? Then we had 2008 happen. So it almost recovered, and then bam, it got hit again. So I'm going to share some stories about you, actually some numbers. Let me grab this for you. I'm glad you asked that question. I'm going to give you an example. So if someone had $1 million, and this is right at the beginning of 9/11 happened, right? So the market went down 3 years in a row. Actually went down 9.03%, 11.85%, and then 21.97%. Just like that. Boom, 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 in order. So timing, sequence of returns risk is what you need to write down. All your listeners, please write it down. Sequence of returns. Doesn't matter, it matters when you make the returns, right? So let me explain this. You have $1 million, you're pulling out 6.5% or 65,000, right? You're pulling out 65,000 out of a million. Every stockbroker says, oh, don't worry, everything will be fine, right? First year market went down 9%, you pulled out 6.5%. Went down 9%, pulled out 6.5% or 65,000. Everybody with me on this? Okay. Second year, that brought the account value from $1 million down to 844,000. Next year, market went down 11.85. You pulled out 6.5. That brought it down to 679,000. Next year, the market went down 21.97. You pull out 6.5 because you got to live on something. You're now at 465. You had 1 million. You now lost half. And this is not super aggressive investing. It's the S&P 500, right? The problem is the next year, the fourth year, went up 28.36%. Went up 28.3. Well, that sounds pretty good. Person pulls out 65,000 or 6.5. Market went up 28.36. They're at 532. They're still at half of what they had. Next year, market went up 10. They pull out 66.5. They're at 524. The death spiral starts from there. Even though the market went up 4, then 15, up 5, then down 36 in 2008. Now they're at 218,000. Just like that. Boom, 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 boom. Just happened. And they weren't going crazy. They were living on their Social Security or pulling the money out. So when those black swan events happen, and we just lived through it, we just lived through, 2008, 9, 10, and those things happening. Now, if we flip those exact returns, okay, those actual returns that actually happen in the market, just for fun, let's take those returns and flip them upside down. Same person, same $1 million. I don't want to lose anybody. Follow me with this. It's very important. Same $1 million. We just flip the returns just to see what it would look like. What if the person was lucky instead of unlucky right when they retired, right? So in the first year, they made 13, made 31, made 15, made 2, made 14, made 25, lost 36. Okay? Just the same returns. Everything's the same. Except they're inverted. The person that's lucky has 877,000. The person that's unlucky at age 79 is minus 20,000. Same returns. They both average 5.93% during that time frame. Isn't that crazy? So being lucky, so what happens when we talk about black swan events happening? They can blow you into the Stone Age. You got to control your spending, and you have to have reliable income streams. So when you're retired, what we're seeing, what people want more than anything, are income streams that are guaranteed. They know what's coming in, at least for a portion of what they have, right? As we get older, there's red money and green money. Red money is the money that goes up and down and up and down, but we need that to beat inflation. We have to. There's no way around it. You have to have a chunk of money that's performing, but you can't have all of it in there because you can lose your shirt. I just had
is that what's called risk?
Oh yeah. Standard deviation. Okay. Standard deviation. Okay. Great question. Very, very good question. I had a caller into my radio show. This guy lost 800,000 bucks in one day. In one day. He had 1.2 million total. He just went bananas and said, oh, I'm going to make another 8% today. Well, guess what? He lost it all. That was his own personal black swan event. His ego got involved, and he was with the wrong people at the wrong time, and bam, it's gone. There's no way. So black swan events are all around us. So how do you allocate between red and green money? Green money is the money you know is going to be there no matter what. I picture a savings account, checking account, CDs, right? Annuity income, right? Or pension, right? We know that money's there. It's either giving you that income, or it's a chunk, wherever maybe it's an institutional money stream that's coming in. You know you're not going to lose that. As you age, take the number 100, subtract your age, and that's how much red money you should have. So 100 minus 60 is 40. That's how much red money or risk money you should have. The rest is green money, that money that, okay. Yeah. Now we can talk
about.
So
the older we get, the smaller it gets.
Well, and thank God we made it this long, right? I mean, we're still here. But we have to, the point is black swan events happen, and they will continue to happen. We may have a huge At any moment, the market could pop down 50%. There's a lot of craziness, crazy people, crazy institutions, crazy country. There's a lot of stuff that is out of our control, right? So as you get older, though, you want to have less and less and less red money, right? So you live on the green money. The red money's there to buffer for the future so you can, make sure you win the game. So, what are the financial things? I'll just give you a list. I know how much time do we have?
We're over time, but that's okay.
Okay, this is a quick list. I'm so sorry.
No,
There's so
that's
much
good.
to talk
You
about,
got
and
great info, so.
it is important. This is very important for your listeners, and I hope they write these down. So these are the 10 things that'll trip you up financially. Okay, I'm just telling you from 35 years of experience managing money and all over the place. Number one is yourself, which we already talked about those seven things, right? Number two are taxes. There are tax baskets. This is the way we manage money for people when they come in. We do it, it's called a tax matrix. There are only four tax baskets in the United States. There aren't 20, there aren't 12 or 50 or two. So there's taxable income. So there's after-tax money growing taxable. What's that like? A CD, right? A certificate of deposit. You put it in there, you're going to hide some, put some money aside that's growing taxable, right? Or your home. People think, oh, I'm not, my home isn't taxed. Sure, it is. You pay real estate tax and you maintain it, right? So that's like a tax. Number two is tax deferred. So after tax money, growing tax deferred, okay, like an annuity does that. Number three is before tax money, growing tax deferred coming out taxable. Okay, bucket three. Bucket four is pre-tax money, growing tax deferred that comes out tax-free. That's it. So there aren't any more of those. It's the management of those boxes. And it's when you pull, well, where are you going to pull the money out first? You have to strategic, you got to think about that. So now you'll get money on money you would have paid the, just like in bucket number two. Instead of having a CD paying you 4%, if you had tax deferral of the 4%, you're going to get interest, but interest on the money you would have paid the government in tax. It's the same investment technically. But you're getting a compression, you're getting extra money just by taking one t simple tax decision, So
And I'm just
anyway.
going to put in here for Canadians who are listening, max out your TFSA before you max out your RRSP.
Oh, there you
So
go.
the TFSA is a tax-free savings account,
Oh,
and we're
yeah.
allowed to put X amount in each year. So.
Beautiful. But thank God, and count your blessings. So number one is yourself, two is taxes, three are fees. We had a lady came into our office. We have it. We actually have her statement. I used this at a seminar. She was charged $43,000 in fees and she didn't know it. 43,000 because of the way that, if you're not smart and she didn't know, how would she know otherwise? She'd worked all her life and said, oh, I'm going to go to this big name place. They'll take care of me. And everybody knows the name of this place, by the way, and I can't share it with you, but.
Is
Go ahead.
sorry, is this where fiduciary comes in?
Yes. So I own a registered, good question. I own a registered investment advisory firm. We have a fiduciary standard. Okay. Not a suitability standard. That's a broker dealer. They say, oh, you're a growth investor, growth, growth, growth stuff. A fiduciary, we must do what's right for the client. We have to back that up several times over. So that's a thank you so much for asking that. Number four are black swan events. We just talked about some of those. Next are relatives. Relatives can mess up your financial situation. Okay. Kids, right? Brothers, friends. Oh, I'll borrow some money and we'll be totally fine. I never see it coming back. Every time I see someone borrow money, it never comes back. I'm just letting you know. The next thing that can mess you up financially are lawsuits. You just asked about irrevocable trusts. Right, there are other things you can do, tenancy by the entirety and all, LLCs for real estate and other things. But that's number six. Number seven is long-term care event. You become disabled, your spouse becomes disabled. That's it. Okay, just let me do your work. You had your own personal black swan event happen. Next is probate, which we talked about, right? Manage of your estate in the event of incapacity. Next is portfolio imbalance. Remember the green and red money? If that gets imbalanced, I just had a guy, matter of fact, we had a 60 million, this guy was worth $63 million in 2008, came in from a seminar. And in a year and a half, this guy lost most of it because he had sold a packaging company at the right time, 2000, I think it was 2002. And he leveraged, he's Mr. Know-it-all, make this, make that, I'm a genius, I'm a genius. He started leveraging himself and living high off the hog with planes and all this other stuff. His portfolio was in the red money, make more, because his ego was in on it. Well, then there were margin calls. And they don't care. You bought X and you owe Y, and they're going to come in and take your stuff. And not in several months, it's gone. And so there was a cascading event. He owed a lot of money on real estate and farms and all this other stuff, and he had to pay because it was all used as collateral and things like that. And lastly, our bad investments. You need to have good investments that are right, given where you're trying to get to. So a good investment is a CD, right? But if you're 23 years old and you have all your money in a CD, that happens to be wrong given where you're trying to get to, right? The 23-year-old should be buying, Tesla or something like that, right? So that's it. I know we went over, and I apologize for, but these are actionable things. Be aware, be present. It's like imagine driving blindfolded. Many people are driving and they have a blindfold on. They actually don't, and they don't want to know, but you can get blindsided, right? So use your best judgment, right? Get your estate plan in order. It's not difficult. It's not. It's just a matter of getting around to it, right? Then, as far as asset management and things like that, you've got to be proactive. Use the leverage. Like, if do you want to fly in a plane with no pilot? Some people want to be their own pilots. They do. What's wrong with that? Of some of the engineers and things people I've met, most people need, they got to pick the right airline. You don't want to pick some goofy airline from Chile that never worked before and the guy's, drinking booze and you get on the wrong plane. What I see the wealthiest clients that I have, here's what they do. They have multiple managers. So we'll be one of them, but they may have three others, right? Well, what's wrong with that? That's being smart. They're leveraging out and spreading their risk around, right? One of the biggest problems I've seen, and then we can conclude here if you want, if you wish, is the internet. Internet is a blessing. But these online trading things, oh, I can show you how to buy and sell, and this is easy. Go for it. Just like the guy who lost 800 grand in one day. The problem is, it's like a casino. It's all beautiful and everything else until something crazy happens, and then you lose what you got. So that's it. I don't know if you have any other questions. I'm so sorry I blabbed all over the place, but.
No, that's great. It's, and I gotta say that I'm one of these people that, I can throw a few pointed questions at you. Overall, I make it clear to my financial advisor that I have come a long way, baby, but I still gloss over. It's like advanced algebra or physics. I'm not following everything else. How does a listener, anybody, find someone with a proven track record, trustable, like what sort of credentials, and I know credentials aren't everything,
Great
to
question.
find someone they can
That's
trust?
a really good question. So FINRA, FINRA in the States. Okay, they have background on everybody, everywhere. There's also organizations like Certified Financial Planner. You want to obviously look for a registered investment advisory firm because that's a fiduciary standard. I own the firm, so we're free to do what's right for the client, right? You can't go wrong with an RIA when you check their background. It's a good idea to have, depending on the assets you have multiple advisors, right? and they're all going to want to fight and say, no, I want all your stuff. It's always good to diversify. I don't always fly on the same airline. I don't always stay at the same hotel, right? So I'm just kind of, moving around, whatever's better for me at the time. That's okay. But you got to look at, how they're doing. You actually have to look at your statement. I don't know. I didn't know you want,
No, I
most
am
people don't
now. I
want to
am
deal with it.
now.
No, but that's normal. Congratulations. You're normal. Okay. But you have to have a meeting every year, at least one. Okay. Now by Zoom, you can do it by Zoom if you want. Most of my clients are now by Zoom, believe it or not, because they don't want to drive an hour and a half, to the office. I'm totally fine with that. But just make sure you're on there and keep your annual statements. Keep your annual statements. You got a question, you go ahead and call. I don't care what your question is. That's they work for you. 1-800, hey, what is this thing I'm looking at? And why did you buy this? Or what do you think of this? Don't hound them. They're flying the airplane. They know what they're doing. They should know what they're doing. If they're an RIA, remember that standard is the highest standard there is. Okay. There's broker dealer and so anyway, I hope that answers your question. But to keep you well, we want to keep things simple for our clients. Got to keep it simple. Make sure, like I was sharing stories. It's one thing for me to talk about it, but real life stories kind of hit home, So things can happen. Don't worry. Take action. Get the hard thing. Once you get it done, right? Remember, like you said earlier, if I make that phone call, I don't want to, but hey, I feel great after taking it, right? You don't have to micromanage your life. Most of our clients just want to leverage it. They use us because they don't want to deal with it. They just want to, you know what? Just make me win the game no matter what. It's not free, obviously, right? Some people want to do it on their own. That's fine. But take an active, be active in it. When you're on the airplane with the advisor, look out the window. Look, where are we? Oh, we're over. Oh, so, oh, we're over Alaska now or whatever. Okay. So you'll be fine. Get your estate plan documents in order because if you get cognitive impairment, that's the grill in the room. Don't forget that. So find out who you trust the most. Who do you trust the most with your healthcare decisions? That's who you need to hang out with. That's who needs to, I don't care if it's a neighbor, friend, pastor, whoever it is, they can all serve together. That's going to make you feel better. And as far as your management goes, make sure you win the game no matter what. You've got to have some green money in there. Okay.
One
Okay.
more story of my own that perhaps reinforces your suggestion, recommendation that you should maybe spread your money around is I had, this is going back a couple of decades, I had a financial advisor who, oh, she was a smart woman. And some of the things she made me do, I'm now going, thank you. She did, I've tried to be loyal. She had her cancer return and it quickly metastasized to her brain. So it's not that she made any bad decisions, she just made a few decisions that weren't the best one. And I remember meeting someone who I felt was probably very trustworthy, new town, blah, blah, blah. And I went, like, how do I pull everything away from this woman at the worst time in her life? So yeah, I probably lost a bit. I certainly didn't make what I should have made through that time, but the damage probably would have, if I'd had several people in place, probably would have been less. Now, once again, I have no regrets. But
Yeah, but
it's just
that's
a
how you
story.
learn. Here we
Yeah,
are
no,
talking
exactly.
about it. You're facing your fear right now. We're talking about it. And your listeners are, if they're the ones that are hanging on right now, are like, whoa, 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 whoa. They're listening. You can't force them to take action. You took action. Unfortunately, with your prior advisor, you know what? These things happen and they pass away, or who knows? This is your money, not theirs. It's your money, not theirs. And there's no hurt feelings. Get over it. This is your life. And what does money do? It buys you choices. That's all it does. It doesn't do anything else. It buys you choices, and you better protect your choices. There's nobody that's a bigger advocate for you than you.
Okay, where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
Can go to retirementincomestrategies.pro.
Dot
Retirement
who?
retirementincomestrategies.pro, pro.
Oh,
And go
okay.
there, and we've got the 7 mistakes report that's free right on the website. Look for the red button. If you see that red button, you can download the 7 biggest mistakes in a down market. It's right there for your use. You can see me, my YouTube channel link from there. I've got a book on Amazon, Retirement Navigator, and you can hear some of the podcasts and TV shows I've been on and radio stations and all that stuff. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no, I just want to clarify what I have up here on my other monitor is Collar Insurance, sorry, KohlerInsuranceServices.com.
Right. I
Is
own
that?
Kohler Wealth Advisors, which is
Yeah.
a registered investment advisory firm. I own Kohler Insurance Services, and the DBA for that is Retirement Income Strategies Pro.
Oh,
So
okay.
that's a yep. So that's where we've got a lot of green money from there. A lot of green money options through that.
Okay, let me just glance at my notes. World Wide Web, your services, they are on here. It looks like you do quite a bit of advising. Now, while we're talking about your services, t talk briefly about licensing. You are in Illinois,
Illinois, and we can do business anywhere in the country.
in the United States.
Yep.
Okay.
We don't have any clients in Canada yet, but you never know, right?
Are you,
So
can you work in the Canada then? Or in
it
other
depends. It
countries?
depends on, we can check on that. It depends
Okay.
on a couple different things. But
All right.
so most of our clients are anywhere from age 50 all the way to 80. And people that want to protect what they have and outsource, they don't want to, they don't just don't want to deal with it. They want to make sure they win the game no matter what, you know? So a lot of it's estate planning, right? So no matter what we have, we got to protect it. It's going to get lost. There is no estate. So we manage things, we get them going, we help the client and hold their hand and answer their questions along the way. It's a journey that has to happen, whether it's us or someone else. You want to make sure you feel better. You want no regrets. Okay. So that's really what we do for a living is protect people from themselves and all those outside influences that can just blindside them.
There we go. Okay, I always close this way. So, despite the time, I'm going to ask anyways. Can I ask you a personal question before we
Sure.
close? Long walks on the beach. Where are the best beaches on Lake Michigan?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. Everybody, if you ever get to the States, okay, I will tell you this will blow your mind, okay? Sleeping Bear Dunes in Michigan. You can fly into Ludington. It's a short drive. This is the largest sand dune. It is so big. So big. People start try to run down, get down, and they look like a little ant at the bottom. It costs like $4,000 to rescue people because they can't climb the sand dune back up. Most magnificent view. I love to bring my, I'll just bring a lawn chair and a cooler and I'll sit there all day looking down at the islands and the beautiful lake. It's absolutely stunning. And not only that, and then you take a short jaunt the next day up to Mackinac Island. If you haven't been there are more horses per square inch than anywhere on the planet.
Oh my
They
goodness.
do not allow any cars there. It's only horses and people and bicycles. That's it. It's beautiful. That's where the War of 1812 started. But there's a fort there, beautiful hotels there to take your breath away. And what was the longest suspension bridge in the world, the Mackinac, you know, bridge, the Mackinac Bridge is right there. And it's just beautiful, stunning. Take your, oh my gosh, everybody's got to be there. So see Sleeping Bear Dunes, take your breath away. There's nothing like it on the planet, and then go up to Mackinac. You'd absolutely love it.
There we go. Okay. Your website links, I'm going to put both of them in just to be safe. Your website links are in the show notes. All of your links. Are you on social? That's what we didn't get to. Usually.
There's a, I'm on Facebook and, you know,
Like for business.
Facebook and
Yeah.
LinkedIn and things like
Oh, and then
that.
YouTube, of course. You've got that
Yeah, you
amazing
got
YouTube
YouTube.
account. Okay, that's great. So all those links are on your page at our website.
Great.
Listeners, if this conversation sparked something for you, maybe a question you hadn't asked before, or even a quiet concern you've been carrying, I'd love to hear from you. What's one thing about retirement or estate planning that you've been unsure about? I'm going to forward those questions to you, Mark. If you have a friend, a sister, or someone in your life who's in this stage or heading toward it, this might be a really valuable conversation to share. Sometimes just starting the conversation makes all the difference. If you're enjoying these conversations, thoughtful, practical, a little bit real, make sure you click follow on your favorite podcast platform. It helps more women find us and keeps these conversations going. If you'd like to listen early, I release each episode on Substack on Wednesday evening before it goes live everywhere else. If you haven't dropped by boomwithabang.com yet, it's really shaping up, so drop over and check it out. Mark Kohler, thank you for being my guest today, bringing clarity to something that can be, well, feel complicated and also really overwhelming. Really appreciate the fact that you've given us a way to think about how we
Thank
think
you,
about
Amy.
things.
Thank you so much. Blessings to you and your listeners, and I hope you have a great Easter.
Thank you. You have a great weekend. Oh, it is Easter weekend.